That is what we want to answer this morning. How can a sinful man be right with God? So please turn in your Bibles then to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 5.
Romans chapter 5.
And I will concentrate only at verse number 10, but for the sake of context, I will read from verse 1 to 11. It reads as follows, and I'm using the ESV this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured unto us, unto our hearts, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. The apostle Paul, he writes this epistle to the Romans, and immediately he stresses forth his conviction, he stresses forth his feelings and his confidence in life, saying that in everything his confidence is in the gospel. In chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17, he says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to remind the believer this morning to comprehend more fully the grace that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, I want to leave a burning lamp to those who still continue in rejection of the gospel, those who continue in rebellion towards God.
Romans chapter
number 5 is loaded with the thought that we are justified by faith, and by faith we have obtained access into the grace in which we stand.
But
as the apostle Paul writes, he will not go further writing without stopping and actually reminding the believer, how did they become children of God? Because there is a life that we once lived, a life away from God, a life of ungodliness. Things were not right between us and God. Just as the prophet Isaiah will say, our sins have separated us from God. Things were not right with us and God. As we are dealing with the subject of being right with God, I'm reminded that at Bethany Baptist Church, there is a brother we are praying for. This man has a disturbing experience between him and his business partner. Things are not right between him and that man. And it concerns us when things are not right. So we are concerned and we are praying for him. Can you imagine then the concern that we should have when things are not right between us and God? Imagine the tension there is when things are not right between a husband and a wife, when things are not right between the parents and the children. As a Christian, you cannot afford not to care when things are not right between you and someone, between you and anyone in the church or outside the church. You should be concerned even when things are not right with you and your neighbor. Then that is why we have what we call family reunion, where people come together to make things right. People will drive for thousands of kilometers just to make things right. Speaking face to face, not sending Facebook messages, not sending WhatsApp messages. They want to interact one on one so that things may be right between them. And that is recommendable. One on one. So, what a great need there is then to be right with God. He who holds the universe in the palm of his hand. He who has the right to destroy the body and throw into hell. Our subject this morning suggests that there is something terribly wrong between God and man. Something greater than a tension between two business partners. But at the same time, our subject suggests that there is something that can be done to make things right. So to help you understand and appreciate the antidote, to appreciate the cure of the problem, you need to understand the problem. We need to see the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of our troubles. So firstly, we need to consider our enmity with God. Verse number 10 says we were enemies with God.
The heart of the verse is that we are reconciled with God, but there is also a reminder that we are enemies with God.
Verse number 10,
the latter catechism asks a very concerning question. It says, what misery did the fall bring upon mankind? And the answer then gives us a kind of a picture, or it expresses the cry of Scripture towards fallen man. It says, here's the answer. It says, the fall brought upon mankind the loss of communion with God, his displeasure and curse. So we are now by nature children of wrath, bound slaves of Satan, and justly liable for all the punishments that we receive in this life or the punishment that we will receive in the life which is to come. And if the Apostle Paul says we were enemies of God, that should immediately sound a siren. It will send a message. Something is wrong. Because you can sense in those words the depth of the separation between God and man. It was in the Garden of Eden where Adam sinned before God. Adam sinned before God and all his posterity was with him. And it was because of sin that we find Adam hiding from God, showing that immediate enmity between a holy God and a sinful man. And for that reason, in Adam, we are all cast out. In Adam, we are all born outsiders. In Adam, we're born outside the place of fellowship with God, outside the place of commune and peace with God. In these verses, then the Apostle Paul expresses that condition and its consequences. We became enemies of God, and by our conduct, day by day, we continue to prove that we are indeed transgressors of the law of God. We continue to prove that we demonstrate day and day that we have enmity with God. We demonstrate day by day that enmity, that hostility towards God and His Son. For the Bible says, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, not one, all men, because all have sinned. We have sinned and became hostile to God, and will not submit to God's law, wishing God was not. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, we became weak, and then we were powerless, and that weakness continued through all humanity. Continuing to say, in Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And could not and would not be able to save themselves. Then in verse number 9, we see the intense, the seriousness, the wages of sin, death. We see that the condition, this separation, this enmity calls for the wrath of God. Maybe you are like my boss at work, my Hindu boss. When I speak to him about these things, he always says, that's not fair. I was not there, I did not eat the fruit. Oh my friends, if that's your mentality, let me tell you something. The word of God is clear, the Bible is clear. Adam was the first man created by God, the first human being who stood at the head of all human race. He was placed in the garden to act not on his behalf or for himself, but for all his posterity. So every person born, every person ever born, every person that will still be born, was already in Adam, represented by him, except the Lord Jesus Christ. So in him, we are all at enmity with God. The Apostle Paul equates this separation, equates this enmity with God as death. He equates it with death.
Ephesians
chapter 2, verse number
Ephesians chapter 2, verse number
1. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. So it is not just enmity, death. So you were regarded as dead before God, and that's what you are. Dead outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead. You were not just lying there in the sepulchre or in that tomb. We are not lying in a tomb of sin, my friends. When the Bible says we are dead in sin, doesn't mean we are lying in a tomb of sin. Sin reigns in your mortal body. You could cover your sin so much with burial clothes, making a picture of a dead person who's got burial clothes around. I'm saying, as you are dead in your sin, in that tomb, you can cover yourself so much with burial clothes. But you could never stop the decaying of your flesh and your bones. Your guilt stood as the multiplied aggravation before God. Dead in trespasses. Dead in sin. Dead in deliberate transgression of the law of God. And at the same time, missing the mark which God has set forth before all men. Not sick to the point of death. Dead. The Bible says the soul who sinned shall die. So even though you are living and active and you are alive before people and the world, but you are dead and stinking before God. And I know those are not nice words, but it's the truth. Dead. Stinking before God. I want you to have that picture in your mind. Dead before God. You don't believe me? Jeremiah 17 verse 9. I'm going to read for you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Romans 3 verse 10 to 18. It is written, none is righteous, no, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongue to deceive. The venom of apes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths and ruins and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is me and you, my friends. Friends, sin has affected the very core of a person. The heart has been corrupted by sin. Sin has affected the whole of humanity, the whole of human being in a person. Totally affected. The human will is affected. We were deliberately walking into a direction away from God and purposely living in a way that does not please God. Living in a lifestyle which is utterly opposite to the standard set by God. Spiritually dead. In a state of active opposition to God. The mind and the understanding also affected. That is why when somebody speaks, you hear what you want to hear. The mind is affected. Everything is affected. You can see that by the outside, by the speeches, the things that we say. Our behavior says it. Affected. Paul says we were dead. We were enemies of God. It means that no one is exempt from this animosity, this hostility towards God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are born and we start out dead. Dead before God. We walk, we speak, we breathe dead. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Friends,
do we get the picture? Unless you get the picture, you will not understand what Christ did at the cross. Do you get the picture? The Bible says the sinner is not just an enemy of God. The sinner is a threat to himself. Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Not only blind, but also lost. Walking in the earth and taking every wrong turn, which seems right at that moment. But when it is all said and done, you find yourself lost. But you thought you took a right turn. Every effort is just futile. Having no God in the world and having no future before us. Remaining condemned by God. Remaining under the wrath and the judgment of God, irrespective of what we have done. This enmity, this separation is so deep that even before you do something, you're already standing in enmity and separated from God. Before you're even born to do anything wrong or anything right that you want to do, you're already standing condemned before God. That's how deep this separation is.
That
is the puzzle. So how can such a sinful man be right with God? Should God have left Adam in his sin? What would have happened? But God is good. God is love. But he came out of his own grace, out of his kindness, out of his own mercy, seeking for him. The Bible says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he continues to say, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So secondly, the Apostle Paul points to our reconciliation. Saying in verse number 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So this speaks of Jesus' death, and it speaks also of our justification. The act of God's free grace, whereby God pardoned all our sins and accepted us as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us, and only when we believe in him. So Jesus came in the flesh and died as a substitute for sinners, my friends. In that he took their place and suffered their punishment, so that a sinful man like me, a wretched sinner like me, someone who was outside and away from God, so that such a person may have peace and have communion with God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is the opposite of condemnation, being reconciled to God. A once-off work of God, whereby the sinner is reckoned righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, God took the first step to overcome our sin nature by sending Jesus into the world to pay for our sin by dying on that cross and offer us our righteousness. God, I'm going to repeat, took the first step. While me and you, we were dead and enemies, God came forth and sent His Son to die on the cross, to hang on that tree, so that you and me may stand right with God, offering us His righteousness. Jesus has graciously removed all the obstacles that were standing before us that we may not communicate with God. He has reconciled us to God. He has done what men could not do, what men can never do for themselves. Friends, for you to see the manner of love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, I want you again to notice what I said. For you to see the love of God and the power of the cross, the beautifulness of Jesus, the brightness of Christ. For you to see, I'm going to repeat myself. This reconciliation happened while we were still enemies. The work of reconciliation was undertaken while we were away from God. We were reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ. Our reconciliation cost us nothing, but it cost somebody something. It cost Jesus His life. The verse says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. He became a propitiation for our sin. A wrath remover, a piercing sacrifice of the wrath of God. That's what He became. Standing on behalf of sinful men, absorbing the righteous judgment, the righteous wrath of God, fell upon Him, absorbed it in its fullness, not a little bit of it, all of it, for a sinful man like you and me. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are today, not tomorrow. We are healed in Christ. Pain, Gethsemane. Dropping blood, tears of blood from His face. For the sake of someone else, not His own. There at Mount Calvary, crying and shouting loud, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? All this crying and all this pain to achieve and secure our salvation. Standing on behalf of someone, receiving such pain, not for his sin, but the sins of someone else. Someone who was an enemy of God. So you see what it caused to be an enemy of God. It caused Christ to die. So it was by His precious blood that sinful man could and can ever
be reconciled to God. Only by his blood and his death. When we speak of his blood, we speak of his death. Only by his death, a sinful man can be right with God. He suffered at the hands of an angry God. So that me and you may be right with God. So that me and you may have peace with God. This one says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This peace arises from the sense of reconciliation. In other words, you begin to have the peace in you for the fact that you understand and you believe and you know that you have been reconciled to God by the death of his son. So in our reconciliation, we are justified. In our justification, we are declared not guilty. God pronounces us just. Can you imagine the God of heaven pronouncing a sinner just without the sinner doing anything for himself? The God is full of wrath, the God who hates sin, hating sinners alike, but declaring you righteous, declaring you just. God has shown his love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, it was while we were still enemies. So by dying for sinners, Christ proves his love for us. A love that goes beyond what is common to men. Because men will scarcely die for each other. Even for a righteous one, one can hardly be found to be willing to die on his stead. But here is the offended God. The offended God came out to seek and to save that which was lost. The offended God came out to seek and save the offending, rebellious sinner, his enemy. He came out for him. The offending God came out and did everything that must be done, and nothing any of us can bring. The only thing that a believing sinner can bring is his sin. You can only bring your sin. Bring your sin to the cross. Bring your sins to him. That's the only thing you can bring. Which is why it is foolishness, my friends, to think and to teach that there can be anything that a sinner can do to add on that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You dare not believe that junk. You don't bring anything. You dare not minimize the power and the beauty of the cross by thinking and believing that you can do something to add to the blood and the death of Christ. You cannot try to make things right with you and God by your own works of the flesh, my friends. You cannot try to make things right with you and God on your own. Reconciliation is the work of God. It is the blessing that comes by the life of Christ and imputed or love upon a sinner. That is why, if you are here this morning and you know nothing of the peace of God, you know nothing of the fellowship and the communion of the Spirit, the only hope is the gospel. I want to say the words of the Apostle Paul in your life this morning. I want to say the words of the Apostle Paul in your life this morning. God is making an appeal through me, my friend. I implore you. I beg you. I beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. May the good Lord enable you to come to Him in humble spirit of faith. Cast your soul upon Him. And if you are a believer, let me ask this question. Is that what you cherish? The Christ who died at the cross, the man who died for sinners, the man who died for the ungodly, the man in whose sacrifice God accepted and says, I am well pleased, that we may have peace with God, that we may become the citizens of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? Is that the kind of life that you live out there? Someone walking here on earth, but knowing that my home is not here, is far away. Is that your life? Is that how you honor the reconciliation that you have with God? You will live just before God. Well, now that we have considered our enmity with God, and we considered our reconciliation with God, the third and the last thing I want us to reflect upon, our blessed hope. All this thing has to happen because Arifelelimo. Arifelelimo, bazalwane.
Arifelelimo.
We are enemies of God. We were enemies of God. And we were reconciled to God by the death of Christ. The
death of Christ
and His resurrection that we remember each and every Sunday.
We celebrate it
every Sunday. We remember it throughout all our lives. But those things happened because Arifelele Mo. You can say that in English, my friend.
This is not where
our life does not end here. Let's look at our blessed hope. The life of Christ brings a blessed hope. It guarantees something.
Let's take this hope.
Verse number 10, being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. Friends, our reconciliation is not the 1994-95 Truth and Reconciliation Commission of South Africa, which guaranteed nothing. But our reconciliation in Christ guarantees eternal life. You have peace with God because you have obtained grace and you have begun to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith, you can now see the world afar. By faith, you can see the life beyond the grave. The Apostle Paul says, how much more now that we are saved by His life, so there is something more awaiting us, because we have received grace. You are saved by the life of Christ. That's what the verse says. Let me bring it to you this way. It was a life for a life. A swap.
He
gave His life so that we may have His life, so that we may partake in His kingdom. And the Bible says His kingdom is forever.
So
we have eternal life by the death of Christ. Peace with God. Because Christ died and He lives now, we can face tomorrow. We have hope. There is life. That is life.
we shall also be raised from the dead by the Spirit, by the Spirit which raised Christ from the dead. That sin problem that has afflicted humanity since the Garden of Eden has been now dealt with in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that punishment that he suffered on the cross. Remember the cross. Now we have life. Look at verse number 21 in your Bibles. It says, question increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you something why I'm bringing you there. Our reconciliation leads to righteousness. Our righteousness leads to eternal life. Reconciled to be righteous. To be righteous so that we may have eternal life. When we speak of eternal life, we speak of the very essence of our salvation, my friends. The newness of life which derives from Jesus Christ. The endless life of future happiness that belongs only to the believer. Of course, that stands in contrary to what I said in my first point. My first point said, condemned. There's the beauty of it. I said, we're enemies. Now I'm saying we are friends. Friends of Jesus. By his death. That is what this is all about. Our blessed hope is the opposite of isolation, my friend, and enmity with God. It is our everlasting joy and future glory. In verse number 10, you see that the newness of life in God is unlike the life of sin. It is not self-originated. It comes as a gift because of reconciliation. It comes as that righteousness which is lavished upon us in Jesus Christ. Righteousness that is lavished upon our souls. It is our eternity with God. Friends, even though evil will not cease to tempt, even though evil will continue to affect us in this world, even though the life of the past and the character of the past in you may continue to affect you in a way in this life, but we are reconciled with God. Even though there will be remaining of scars in our lives, scars of the old wounds of the past life, even though there will be those old souls which just want to spring forth and burst open afresh. Sometimes even though it is like that, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We are able to say, there is a land that fairer than day. By faith we shall see it afar, for the Father awaits there us and prepare a better place, a dwelling place for us. Oh, that sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore, and our souls and spirit shall sorrow no more. Because our lives has taken a new, a different direction.
We do not
simply live,
grow old,
die, and perish. We have passed through death and entered into eternal life. We are transformed by God. God who loved us and sent his son into the world. We have something beautiful, my friends, through Christ Jesus. We are standing right with God. We are reconciled to God. And when he appears, we'll have confidence and not shrink in shame. We'll have confidence. We'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We'll enter his gates with praise. Because Christ died to reconcile us by his own death. So my friends, there is more to life than a series of fleeting moments of joy and sadness. God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten son, so that whosoever believe in him may have eternal life. That whosoever believe in him may be right with God. That whosoever believe in him may be reconciled to God and have everlasting joy. So why would you only want to reconcile to man? Why will you avoid to be reconciled to God? And at the same time, when you want to reconcile with God, why would you want to do that on your own terms? Why would you come in a different way? Remember the story of that rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deeds must I do to have eternal life?" This man admitted that he was not going to see God. That's what many people, they know that. Admitted in his heart, "I will not see God. I will not have eternal life. I need to do something about it." But he wanted it on his own terms. When Jesus told him what to do, you see that he loved the world and the things of the world. And he didn't do what Christ said. He will not accept the way in which one can be right with God. That is what's troubling my friend even this day. Not accepting the way, the only way in which Christ says we can be right with God. He will not deny himself. He will not leave everything behind and follow Jesus. He will not set aside his self-righteousness. He will not set aside his religious experience,
so
that he may receive eternal life through faith and repentance to Jesus Christ. He will not leave things behind.
Leave the things of darkness and come to Christ.
Follow him on his terms. Friends, take this with you. Man is not standing right with God. And it is impossible to be right with God unless the only God, the good God and Savior himself, works out something on your behalf. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, God to come and persuade us, or else we will never have come to him. Because the God of this world has darkened our eyes. He has darkened our eyes in unbelief, keeping us from seeing the beauty, the glory of God Jesus Christ. But through his death, he reconciled us to God. And now, whoever believes, have eternal life. So my friends, even though sinners cannot do anything in and of themselves.
But
a sinner must come to Jesus in faith and repentance. Will you come to him this morning? Will you cast your soul upon him? Will you cast your soul in that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? Will you come to Jesus? Will you immerse yourself beneath that blood and lose your guilty stain, my friend? Because only through such means of grace a sinful man can be reconciled to
God.
How can a sinful man be reconciled to God? Must recognize your enmity.
Your
separation with God. And realize and believe that you can do nothing about it but only to look unto Jesus. The only one who reconciles men with God. The only one who gave that appeasing sacrifice.
To
reconcile to God. Look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget everything. May the good Lord bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, our King of glory, beautiful Savior, thank you this morning for reminding us of your love and your grace. Yes, reminding us how sinful and dead we were. We need to be reminded, oh God, so that we can cherish and see this beauty of the cross. But we are thankful, Lord, to be reminded again that we were reconciled to you, not only to live a beautiful life here on earth, not only, God, to come up and down in and out of church, but God, there is a blessed hope. Thank you for that blessed hope, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. May you work now in the hearts of men, those who have received your word with joyful hearts. May they apply the word of God in their lives. May they recognize their sin and recognize the only Savior. May they long for that eternal life, O God. Bless us this morning. Bless the service as it still continues and the message that is still to be preached. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. May the church of God say Amen.
Amen.